This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 2 Legal Regulatory Issue Call held on the 6th of October, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect Room only. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Michael Fleming. Please begin.
So, Michael Fleming here. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, as Terry has already said to everyone. Today we have an exciting discussion plan for everyone, so I am thankful that people are showing up here by bit. So today, I believe Phil Buckingham is unable to join us, unless Terry, he hasn't been able to log in on the audio, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. So in that regard, Jeff Newman is going to be special guest as co-chair in a way today. Jeff, you are on the audio.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jeff, thank you. So already then, let's get started. Terry, can we switch to the next slide for the agenda, please? So today's agenda will be, of course, welcome and any administrative necessary matters, and then looking at any updated SOIs, and then we'll be looking at terms and conditions of applying for a TLD. This is a recent topic that we wanted to look at. It was a add-on requested by Paul McGrady, but unfortunately Paul is unable to join us. Very quickly, Jeff, I think there was the notion to perhaps reserve this for maybe a later call. I don't think that is necessary, but at the same time, if you feel that Paul would be able to provide better background information in regards to this and maybe saving it for a later call would be best, please do let me know. As for the basic, after that, we'll be looking at the base agreement and continuing our high-level discussion. Then we'll be looking at reserve names if we have time. I'm not sure how well we'll be able to jump in this today. I think just an introduction that we'll be looking at will be best. And then and Jeff will be providing a background on either 3 or 4. So we'll very knowledgeable in both. So I think we'll just keep 3. Okay. And then any other business. I just want, for the sake of time, if anyone has any other business, I would appreciate if they let me know now so that we can reserve adequate time for this at the end. I know I have one subject at the end, but rather minor, so I think I can just save 3 or 4 minutes for that. So if anyone has any other business, please let me know now. I'll open it up for a few seconds. So. So in that regard, I see that we have no other business. All right then. So let's go ahead and jump in. Does anyone have any updated SOIs? Speak now or forever hold your peace. None. Okay, well that's, we're moving right along then. So for next, Terry, can we move to the next slide, please? So the terms and conditions for applying for a TLD. I believe about 2 calls previous, so a little bit a month ago, there was the proposed notion for a new topic for the working track 2 to look in. And this was the terms and conditions for applying for a TLD. It was suggested that we explore the TNCs It is definitely an interesting topic because in recent months, there's been a lot of cases developing where some applicants are actually saying ICANN. In that case, this takes into question the notion applied from the TNCs that do actually refuse, kind of bar applicants from having the ability to sue ICANN. So it's definitely a legal aspect in regards to the new GTLDs, and that is why we are able to address this in some way, shape, or form. In order to adequately address this topic as a group, I feel that it is necessary that we ask ourselves several questions, more or less, is this in the scope of the PDP work, of the Policy Develop Working Group? Does this belong in Working Track 2? Is this a policy aspect or an implementation of ICANN or a hybrid? Also looking at what reference material we have, the Applicant Guidebook Module 6 is what states this clearly. In the event of tackling this subject, what recommendations could be made from a policy standpoint? And are the terms and conditions for described in the Applicant Guidebook enforceable? These are just some questions. I'd like to turn it over to Jeff very quickly to provide more background information and add supporting information.
Okay. Thanks. Can you guys hear me?
Just barely, Jeff. If you could scream into the microphone, I think it would be much better. Thank you.
Okay. How about now? Is this better? Talking a little louder? Yelling?
That sounds very well. Thank you.
Okay. So this became an issue, as Michael said, kind of recently when this was addressed in the court case involving South Africa and whether ICANN had acted fraudulently or willful misconduct in refusing to evaluate the South Africa application and at least according to what South Africa alleged, the California District Court, which is the lower level court, had found that there were serious questions raised as to whether the really broad waiver or relief was actually enforceable. So what it said essentially was that an applicant, by submitting an application, was waiving any and all claims, or actually releasing ICANN from any and all claims that arose out of the application process. And so what the California District Court said was that there are serious questions as to the enforceability of such a broad release, especially because it released ICANN from conduct that would otherwise constitute fraud or willful misconduct or willful conduct that was unlawful. So the court essentially struck down the release in this case due to it being overbroad. So I think one of the questions that we might have, now that case is on appeal right now, and so I'm not sure whether, you know, that would be overturned, but at this point, it does seem to be that a broad release that releases ICANN even from fraudulent acts is not favored in California courts. So the policy question, I guess, for us to consider is how do we adequately protect ICANN from lawsuits while at the same time allowing applicants to exercise its rights for judicial review when it feels like it's been wrong. So I think that's kind of the issue that is pretty important. Now, it may become less important in the future if we add an appeal process, as is being talked about or has been talked about before. I believe that's in Work Track 3 as to whether to add an appeal process. But in this point, or at this round, the 2012 round, there was no appeal, so the only option you had was to go to court. So that could be another reason why the release was found to be too broad, that there was really no way to address your claims. So all that's just background to say that that is an issue that we may want to address. And if we do address it, I think it belongs in this work track since it's the legal and regulatory comments. And so I see that there's a question from Jim. Did the community have input into the T's and C's? Yes, the community had a chance to provide input. I don't believe ICANN really accepted much of them. And so if we go back to the guidebook and the history of that, there was opportunity to comment, but not much of it was accepted by the ICANN staff. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you, Jeff. In that sense, I feel that this is very strongly an implementation aspect of ICANN, more so the hybrid, I think, as suggested by Jeff. In that sense, I think we need to definitely go back and find what information we can, where the conversation started, and what ideas, what comments were provided, and how that was ignored, and in a sense, how ICANN may have changed that to suit their own bidding. One thing to note is when we add a new topic to our own scope is, okay, Rubens has a question. I'll let him talk before I jump into my next idea. Rubens, you have the floor.
Thank you, Michael. It's Rubens Q for the record. It's not a question, it's trying to answer your question, what's in the slide, is this in the scope of the PDP working group? I would like to read the point of the charter. There is a list of what the work group is going to look, but it says that the list is a starting point. It's not exhaustive. Then the work group can supplement the list, provided that is directly related to new GTLD subsequent procedures, which is the case here. So the only gotcha is knowing whether this would require an amendment of the charter, which is also feasible, or if it would just require notification of the GNSO Council, which is probably likely for this item that this would qualify for that. But answering your question, yes, it is in Ethereum. On what is in the charter, it is in scope for the PDP. Thank you.
Thank you, Rubens. And you answered the exact second question as well. I was going to throw out there, what do we need to do in order to add this officially to our own remit? So I think it was also suggested by Jeff that we might reach out to council to change the charter. Would that still be applicable, or can we just freely kind of write this up and have it listed on our working track page? Hint, hint, Jeff.
Sorry, this is Jeff Newman. It takes me a minute to get off of mute. I do not believe we have to go back to council to ask for permission. We could just, as Ruben said, it's a non-exhaustive list of topics. If we want to add a topic, we can add it, the recommendation. I think we're fine.
All right. With that said, I think Barry Cobb has also added a comment on this. Another vector for the group to monitor, consider, is the changes to RFR and eventual release of the IRP as a result of the CCWG accountability work. It did not specifically touch upon what these mean for subsequent rounds slash procedures, but it will be changing in the future. So I'm assuming that this is the request for response and the independent review panel matter that the CCWG looked at. So, yes, I'll request for reconsideration. I'm so sorry. We'll get those acronyms better in the future. So this was looked at by the CCWG World Accountability Work. So obviously that there was matters taken into hand in regards to how applicants are applying to ICANN, asking for requests for reconsideration, and what would be related to this or be a result of this, in a sense. So it's necessary to take that into consideration as we look at the terms and conditions, in my own understanding. So input on this would highly be appreciated. So I think I'm going to take the notion that this is in our scope and that we shall add it to the to our issues. I don't see any reason not to at this point. If anyone does have any input as whether we should not, I'll let them speak. And Steve Chen, you have the floor. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve Chen from staff. Not to challenge anything you just said, but what I would add is that the terms and conditions are actually a part of the applicant guidebook, as Module 6, as you pointed out. And the applicant guidebook is explicitly identified in the charter. So just to add a level of support to the idea that this is within the scope of the PDP. Although I'd mentioned that in the future, if there are additional things that are identified, that one route that could be taken is to merely inform the council, and then they can determine whether or not a change to the charter is needed. Although I would think in this case it's probably not needed for reasons you stated, as well as the fact that it's part of the applicant guidebook. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. So that out of just respect of courtesy, I suppose, that would be just best to send a note to council. But you're saying it's not necessary in this regard, that we don't need to send anything to council, we can just kind of take it and run with it? Am I correct?
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve again from staff. I guess the point I was trying to make is that the terms and conditions are currently a part of the applicant guidebook, and the applicant guidebook is a part of this scope, so I would think that it's not necessary in this particular case, although I'm willing to be challenged on that. Thanks.
Okay. So in that sense, I guess we'll I don't know. In my mind, I just, out of respect for courtesy, just sending a small note. But then again, Paul McGrady is our liaison with council. I'm sure he can, if we asked him, he could effectively communicate with council that we have added this to our scope. And Jeff, okay, you have the floor.
Thanks. Jeff Newman again. I just want to be clear that what we're adding is to look at the policy issues in those terms and conditions. I don't want us to engage in legal drafting of what we think the terms and conditions necessarily be. So when we add it, let's just make sure we're dealing with the policy or overarching kind of subjects as opposed to determining what the liability of ICANN should be or what the exact language should be, because I think that's more left to implementation. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. So with that said, definitely keep in regard what Jeff is noting when we do look at this. I think that it's there is no opposition to this, so I'm going to officially have this added to our own scope and ask that staff add it kind of to page of our issues. But not just stopping there, I kind of like to take a few more minutes to look at what kind of questions we need to be asking ourselves. And once again, looking at what reference material we have. I know that the final issue report was able to give us a good idea of what questions we need to be looking at. So in that sense, I think I'm just going to be prepared ahead of time, not saying that we're going to be opening this issue up now for discussion. I mean, obviously, everyone is freely able to add their own opinion at any time, of course, but when we do come back to this to take the necessary time to discuss it, I'd just like to be prepared to have those questions kind of highlighted out. Jeff, you have the floor. Jeff, the no hand? Okay. I'll take that as a no hand then. So in that sense, I believe we have answered the question one here, as well as question two, and then question three. We also answered this, a kind of a hybrid. We need to make sure that we clearly look at only the policy side of this, and at the same time don't try to add specific legal, rewrite it, as Jeff has clearly pointed out. So I'd like to kind of more explore this next question. In the event of tracking this subject, just right before that, Steph, what other material do we have besides the Module 6? I know that it seems that there were discussions about this in the previous policy development process before 2012, but are there any other areas that we could look at that would kind of give us insight as to how the community had input into this in the past? Steve, go ahead.
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve Chan again from staff, and I would imagine Jeff will probably be able to add to this, but I would say that one place that the work track could look at is the comments received to the applicant guidebook. As the way this was developed was, I believe, mostly at the level of implementation. But in the comments to the applicant guidebook and then the integration of those comments, that will probably help give some insight to how the TNCs were developed. Hopefully that's helpful.
Thank you, Steve. Would it be possible for staff to kind of go in and pull out what the comments relate specifically, or is that work for Google fill-in?
Hi, Michael. This is Steve Chan again from staff. You sort of broke up, but I think you're asking us to try to hunt that down and consolidate, perhaps.
Yes, if possible. I'm not sure if that's something Phil and I would be best suited for, but I think actually I can staff would probably be best suited for that. But anyone has the ability to go in there and make sure that we're bringing out comments that they feel are necessary to actually look at and then kind of bring back to the fore would be very much appreciated.
This is Steve again from staff. We can take that as an action item, at least take the first cut. Thanks.
First cut, very much appreciated. All right, so there were also, Ruben's also provided more reference material in the chat, so there are the requests for considerations from the 2012 round, as well as the independent review panels from the 2012 round, and then even more so, the lawsuits from the 2012 round. I think it would be very good to have the note for the decision from the judge, or at least the comments in regards to the .Africa case for how those TNCs directly stated the TNCs and the ability for applicants to sue ICANN. I think we have a good list of reference material. And then next, of course, is in the event of tackling this subject, what recommendations could be made from a policy standpoint? Jeff kind of already went over this when saying we shouldn't engage in legal drafting, but look at the policy. So I think another note would be to, of course, look at the comments in regards to how the applicant, in regard to the comments into the applicant guidebook, how they related to the TNCs in the past, of course. But I'm just thinking what other notions we could look at. And as Jeff also stated, that the most of the lawsuits that are occurring are coming out of the objections process, and a lot of those appeals coming out in relation to that. So giving an appeal process, I'm not sure if that would be specifically related to TNCs. I mean, I'm sure it will come into the scope of addressing that, but at the same time, specifically in the TNCs, I mean, what areas do we need to look at in making recommendations from a policy standpoint? Does anyone have any input on that? Okay, so I think that will be an action item as well to consider what maybe Paul McGrady would have. Good. So Ruben suggests that 2 stress tests. I suggested the team one. The TAS issue that occurred, freezing the application process, and 2 is data leak. Okay, so these would be other areas to address. Then I think my last question on here, are the terms and conditions for describing the applicant guidebook enforceable, would be another question to obviously ask. I'm not sure if this is one we need cuts now, of course. Yes, thank you, Rubens. TAS is the application system used by applications in 2012. At the same time, we're already about 30 minutes past the hour, so I'd like to move on. Does anybody have anything else relating directly to the TNCs, or can we move forward? Hearing and saying no and typing, I will move forward. Terry, can we move to the next slide, please? So, the base agreement and high-level discussion. So this week was an exciting week, and I wish to thank everyone for providing input on this area. We're still tackling 2 questions, only 2 questions, actually, that we've already asked. So right now we have a lot of debate going on in regards to the single base agreement versus category based agreements. And this addresses 2 high level questions. 1, does a single base agreement make sense for all types of registries? And 2, do we as a group support the notion for having separate agreements for separate categories? So just a quick review. Different TLDs have already been discussed. Of course, this, of course, is not to say that these are the only groups we can look at. But very quickly, I'd like to, Terry, how does this work? If we click on this link, will it be able to show the list, or is it possible for staff to pull it up here in the Adobe?
Hi, Michael, it's Terry. I actually just clicked the links, and they both worked for me.
Oh, yes, I'm sure they work. I'm just wondering if we can pull them up for everyone else to look at.
Sure. And which one do you want at first, the first one or the second one?
Yes, the different TLD types. I think it's just a good idea to kind of go over what we're looking at right now.
Yep. So, give me one moment, and I'll bring it up.
Driven. So while Terry is working, this is supposed to be a non-exhaustive list. That is the correct English. Score one for me. But we have already solidified, I believe, 10 categories, perhaps. It's about 11, actually, right here, that have already previously been noted. So we have open registries. Standard. That's small, but that's okay. If everyone is able to look at it on their own computer, please do. If anyone does have their hand raised, can I ask staff to kind of interrupt me and let me know? I'll be looking at it on the other screen. So we have Open Registry Standard. We have Geographic. We have the Brand Specification 13. We have intergovernmental organizations. We have the community registry. These are all ones that are originated out of the 2012 round. Other ones that were brainstormed were a validated registry, restricted registries with qualification criteria that must be verified. We have not-for-profit or non-profit GTLDs, NGOs. We also have highly regulated / sensitive TLDs. Added by Jeff Newman, we have exclusive use registries, keyword registry limited to 1 registrant and affiliates. This is somewhat related to the brands in this sense, I believe. but not to say specifically is. And then we have closed generic that was added by Steve Chan. And then from Sorma Iyer, my apologies for butchering your name if I have, we have the open TLD with minor domain charter registration challenges, example given .name, .biz. So this is just a, like I said, a non-exhaustive list. But I think one big question for us to look at would be to, not just the brands, of course. I mean, I think we need to consider, if we do and you have recommendations for CAG-based utilities, how far do we go down the line? I know that there was another discussion on the overall working group this week on the idea of tags. Of course, I think that's still being explored, so I'm not going to jump into that just yet. We need to, I think that more discussion needs to be done around that. Rubens has added sponsored TLDs, which, although being a twin brother of community TLDs, has been regulatory framework, so yes. But as I was saying, a big question we need to consider is, how far do we go down the line? Obviously, there's a lot of support for brand, a brand-oriented agreement, and I think community-oriented agreement is also out there. But what other aspects can we look at? I don't want to drag into this too much today because I think the pros and cons are the higher level discussion that we need to emphasize on right now. But Jeff, you have the floor.
Thanks. Sorry, took a minute to get off mute. I agree with Raymond, who just posted that. Really, let's not review the categories at this point in time, but let's just talk about the stuff that was raised on the mailing list, pros and cons of a single agreement. Let's focus there because I don't think we've made any conclusions in the overall group on the categories and. I think at this point it doesn't matter what the categories are, if there are categories, it's just the notion of that we think there's going to be categories, at least the same ones that were in this past round. And so let's just make that assumption and then move to the next question.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Yes, I don't mean to obviously increase categories or to completely reiterate what has already been said, but just keep this in mind looking at it, because obviously we need to have more discussion needs to be done surrounding this issue, but at the same time it will be a discussion when making recommendations for category-based agreements. I mean, that's all I wanted to put on the floor there. So yes, as I was saying, I wanted to look more at the pros and cons, but Rubens made a point too. It's working group, working track one, that is looking at this. That's not to say. I believe that's still in the overall working group that's looking at categories. I think working track one is doing something that we may need to perhaps in the overall group. Yeah, so I think we'll be able to carry that on in the future, just keeping this in mind. Sorry for taking so much time in regards to this specifically. So Terry, yes, could we please get back? Could we click on the next link, actually? Sorry, the pros and cons?
Yes, one moment while I bring that one up.
Thank you, Terry. So, yes, this week we had a lot of input. And I wanted to thank you to those who were able to come out and say their non-support for, not necessarily non-support, but give ideas, of course, why it would be better to have a single-based registry agreement versus the category-based agreement. At this point, we haven't had a lot of pros and cons discussions at this point, so being able to have this overall is very much appreciated. I did go through, and once again, staff has kind of organized the ideas that were discussed this week into a into a Google Doc for us. And this is at, from the question viewpoint of, does a single base agreement make sense for all types of registries? So in this sense, pros are for the single base agreement and cons are, well, what are the cons of the single base agreement, but in a sense, why is it better to have category-based agreements? I'm sure that's not the only way you can read it, but that is my own interpretation of it, and I think that is safe to say for how we continue to discuss this. Jeff, do you think we should go through the whole document, or do you think we should kind of open up the floor for additional discussion?
Yeah, this is Jeff. I think we can just, you know, briefly summarize it, but encourage everyone to provide input as to whether there are additional pros and cons. And let's get into the meat of the discussion, because I think, like you said, it's scaling list, and
yeah.
I think we should make sure this captures everything.
I think that's a good idea, too. To summarize, not sure if I can quickly do that, but kind of going quickly, I suppose. So the pros for the single base agreement at this point. So we have several suggestions. I believe it was Raymond Zylstra from Newstar that added input on this, and I believe Kurt also came out was able to provide suggestions. But I'm just going to quickly go through this. But so for predictability, if 2012 registry operators have different obligations and users could be impacted by varied service levels and requirements for TLDs, and then there's the level playing field, introducing a different registry agreement for future applicants may unfairly disadvantage those who have signed the 2012 registry agreement. And then there's the status quo. Various categories of TLDs can and do operate under the RA in its present form, demonstrating that the current RA is functional. And then we have, where does the problem lie? Multiple RAs will not solve ICANN's operational problems. Lengthy process, developing and reaching consensus on multiple RAs could compromise the timelines for the commencement of subsequent new gTLDs. And then administrative burden. The introduction of multiple RAs will result in additional overhead for ICANN, registry operators, applicants, and service providers. And then the con, there's a lot of remarks in response to this. Christina has added a clarifying question. Does different base agreement mean a completely different base agreement for every category, be a standard agreement base agreement with additional specifications that differ, like specification 13, or something else entirely? If the answer is C, please elaborate. So that's a good question, and my own assumption would be kind of leaning in the idea more so for A. I think that the specification 13, as pointed out previously, was an addition. It was a last-minute addition for brands that wasn't something that was originally given a lot of time previously in talking about the RA. But Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I think it could be either case. I don't think we're making a determination yet. For example, one could say that we could have a set of terms that's common for no matter what registry you are, have that be your, quote, base agreement, and then have a different exhibit or appendix or specification for, if you're a generic, here's the additional terms. If you're a brand, here's your additional terms. If you're, you know, you could do it that way, or you could have just completely different standalone agreements. I don't think at this point we're making any kind of determination. I think that's something we need to look at. And I do have an idea for action items after we go through this exercise. But let's, hopefully, Christina, that answers your question. We haven't made a decision on that.
Yes, Jeff, thank you. The idea of, I believe, a previous discussion was that you have a model. You obviously have a model that all relate to. And not one agreement, of course, specifically defers from the model itself. So as Jeff was pointing out, we're not making a determination at this point, but the idea that's flowing through a lot of people's heads is that you have that one agreement and then you have how that deviates specifically per category. I'm completely open for people to jump in at any time to correct me. So getting back to the cons, I don't see anyone else being on the floor. Raymond was able to provide another consideration. One size fits all, two sizes fits all. Introducing versions of the registry agreement may just change the problem. Within categories of TULDs, there will still be differing business models. And then Rubens also says, note that we already have two different agreements of the 2012 round, and it's not based on specification. It's the governmental and standard versions of the agreement. So this is, Rubens' point, I believe, is the one that notes that there are specific specifications that will relate to intergovernmental and non-governmental TLDs. Am I correct or am I wrong? Rubens? Like the
so this is Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, it was governmental organizations, and it wasn't specifications, it was alternate language for a few different sections. So for a government, your indemnity section was different than if you were a private applicant. But it wasn't different specifications, it was in the agreement itself.
Thank you, Jeff. And yes, my apologies. I think I'll correct myself in saying that I believe that the specifications were for community TLDs in that regard, that related to them. But still all the same. Does anyone have any more input that they would like to speak up and freely state their opinion? Jeff, you have the floor. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So I have a proposal. I think we're dealing with this issue in the abstract, and it's kind of hard to do that. And I know that there have been, let's say, brands that have called for a separate based on the fact that there are certain provisions that are in the base agreement that do not apply to them. I would actually propose setting up some sort of sub-team for anyone that thinks that they're a specific type of category that should have a separate base agreement, and then kind of go through and talk to the group, to the full group, about what provisions they do not believe apply to them, so that we can kind of grasp this in some sort of tangible manner. I don't believe anyone's actually gone through that exercise of going through the agreement, but I think if there is a brand idea of having a separate agreement, that would be a worthwhile exercise for the rest of us. Thanks.
So Jeff, I can raise my own hand there. So you're saying that they'll have a subgroup, a sub-team. First of all, that's a question. The question is, does that sub-team stem from the overall group, or does it stem from the working track too?
From
this work track. Okay, thank you. And then you're saying that they should go through. Go ahead.
And anyone can participate. Yeah.
Anyone not limited to members or observance of this group. This working track. Okay, that's not limited. And then you're also saying any participant of this working track. Okay. My apologies. And then you're also saying that they would go through the entire agreement to kind of I'll just read what was written here. Dealing with this issue in the abstract,
setting up a subteam for anyone who thinks there should be a separate agreement for Academy and then go through the agreement. So I think the question of going through the agreement specifically, do you mean going through the entire RA or, for example, for the brands to go through what is written in Specification 13? I think, sorry, just a bit more clarity there would be appreciated. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, other than what's in Specification 13, because obviously we know that stuff is different, I would like to see the brands go through the agreement, the registry agreement, provision by provision or topic by topic, not just to renegotiate certain provisions, but really to go through, almost Rubens has kind of done with the specifications. He just listed Specification 9 doesn't apply, Specification 12 doesn't apply, maybe the fee provisions don't apply, you know, to just kind of go through that and say, this is why we think we need a new brand agreement, because these provisions don't really apply to the brand, and therefore this is why we think a separate agreement is warranted. And it's not just brands. I mean, if there's anyone that feels that other groups should have a separate agreement, they should feel free to do the same thing.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. So basically what you're saying is that to go through the agreement and pick out what and say what does not apply to me in this aspect. I just want to be 100% sure because I know that I think there's a lot of discussion in not just our own working track but other groups that are already looking at this exercise. So I think it would do us well to actually kind of speak with them directly to kind of perhaps if they could share that work. So in a sense, and when I say groups, I don't mean necessarily affiliated with any ICANN PDP specifically, but I know that there are those groups out there and there are people that are already doing that. And definitely having that kind of input provided to us would allow us to better consider this, but overall, I think what you're saying is to make your case to the working track, right? Have those certain areas make their specific case.
Yeah, and what I'm looking for, I think that's right. What I'd be looking for, and again, this is open for discussion, but I'm looking for not necessarily where you would renegotiate because you think you can get more favorable terms. I'm really looking for specific areas that you feel don't apply to your category or group, whatever it is, or additional provisions you think should be in there. Not that I can imagine anyone wanting to add to an agreement, but I don't want to foreclose that opportunity either. So, and I understand there may be others working on this, but in order to get implemented, they need to introduce it into this working group. So I'm fine reaching out to, so if the brand registry group, for example, is working on this, I know there are members of that group that are members of our working group, and, you know, I'd like to see it kind of incorporated into one effort as opposed to having separate efforts being undertaken on this. I think that's probably the best way to get past the abstract pros and cons to really, as you said, kind of make your case.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you. Raymond's also has a question saying, what is the outcome of the scope of work? What is it that we working, what are we working to developing, delivering? Kind of to address that and to have comments of my own. First of all, I think that, as Jeff is saying, that the abstract pros and cons discussion, I think, can go on for a long time. Obviously, this is going back and forth in regards to what is, I mean, if we should have those category-based agreements, and more specifically, what categories are there? And then also for, you know, just looking at keeping that single-based agreement, and then the idea that that's too restricted. So I think, as Jeff is stating, that we should, Raymond, for the scope of work, the scope of work for us is to merely make the recommendation of whether or not there should be category-based agreements, or if we if it's a notion that there is agreement for that. Jeff can also elaborate on this as well. But in that sense, I don't think that we make, you know, we don't make specific suggestions as to language. We don't say use disagreements, of course. We can make suggestions on perhaps what type of category agreement would do well from this, or that we could have. We don't make specific. Sorry, just reiterating what I'm saying. But so I think Jeff has a good point. There's a lot of support for certain categories to have a more oriented agreement for them. Allowing those parties to make their statement now would be the best. But I'd like to set a deadline for that, and then have a allow them to kind of provide that input at a later time. So in a sense, I think that we perhaps should come back to this discussion specifically, keep it out there on the floor, and set this, like I said, set a certain date for us to be able to come back to address this question. Would that be acceptable? Gigi Levine, my apologies, I'm butchering your name, but you're asking, wouldn't it be simpler to keep single base agreement and then fine-tune specs per category? Multiple specs might apply to applicants. Doesn't make sense to have separate agreements. So that would be another pro for the single base agreement discussion and kind of what we're already doing. I could answer that in my own opinion, but I'd kind of like to move on as we only have 5 more minutes left. So yes, I think it's an action item, and I'm not sure if we'll have Jeff, I'm sorry, I'm not 100% coherent at this hour of the day, but what exactly do we need to do? I can send out an email to the overall working track to kind of have this idea out there, and then by next meeting, depending on what input we have, we can make a decision for whether or not we will allow those to move forward, and then decide on what date we'll be able to come back, have them come back to us.
Yeah, so this is Jeff. I mean, you could just have, see if there's a volunteer from this group to see if someone will lead that effort. Give people on the full list, the full work track list, 5 days to respond to see if they want to participate. Have that leader come back to us on the next call and propose a date that they think that they could have.
Okay, so so what I'll do then is I will have we'll send out a kind of a request for, you know, having later people volunteer to take up a specific category in a way, to lead a discussion on what they feel doesn't apply to them in the current single base agreement, and of course also make the input to provide input of what should, in other sense, perhaps be in agreement. I'm not sure if I'm going to let that tiger out of its cage, but all the sense to make their argument, I think would be best. And what I'll do is I'll send out an email and kind of have that open for about a week. Maybe 2 weeks might be best, honestly, because this is an issue that is, I think needs to allow for adequate time for people to consider, and then have people volunteer, and then by next meeting kind of have a clear picture of what of who's kind of volunteered, and then open the floor for until Hyderabad for people to volunteer for such group, and then set a date, have them set a date for when they can deliver. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know when I was lost. I lost the connection. I think that we don't need to wait till Hyderabad. I think, like I said, solicit a volunteer, give people 2 days, 5 days to join. Obviously, anyone could join afterwards. It's, you know, not exclusionary. And then have that leader come back to us on the next call and tell us a date when they think they can get preliminary recommendations to us.
Jeff, the reason I don't feel that we should jump out there and set everything by have the entire group of volunteers as well as a leader decided by next group is because I think that this is something that's 2 weeks is pretty short for a lot of people, and that is why I think we should just give more time because, I, like I said, this is an issue that even if we continue the discussion in abstract now, obviously we'll not be able to take away a specific recommendation at this point. Just giving people a bit more time might allow for that consideration.
Yeah, I guess, sorry, this is Jeff. I guess I wasn't thinking of it being so formal. It's really just people come to, not to final decision or anything, but to kind of just organize amongst themselves and present to us the case of why they should have something different. But your call. So let us...
I think it's going to be taken formally. I think people are going to consider it formally rather than just... specific. Any group that any subgroup, any sign of something like that is never taken as something just small. It's I think people will take it very specific. Barry is suggesting that you take a more accounted, more targeted approach. Brands equals Martin Sutton. Geo's RYO from GOTLD community. So yes, Barry, I'm going to be soliciting or perhaps reaching out to people. And that, in that sense, I'll be able to kind of have them volunteer, per se. But not everyone is a member of this working track at this point. So just listening to people and then having them gear up to join and then having people start wanting to kind of be a part of that aspect would be able to move forward. And then Christina Rosette is saying, I would hope that the folks advocating for different agreements have a very good idea about what they do and do not. So in this sense, basically having their idea already at this point, you know, a lot of those groups have already been talking about this and looking at this for a long time, so they already have a certain idea. So, yes. And then Jared agrees with Christina, and then Barry says, I recommend that it be communicated that the default is a single agreement at this point and only looking for rationale on why we should consider different versions. So definitely, Barry, thank you for that, and I think that is very much applicable. But lo and behold, we have reached our hour and run out of time. So thank you for everyone's time. We were unfortunately able to jump into the reserved names and any other business. But I think we have a lot of discussion here. Kind of some quiet people today, of course. But so I think next we'll be able to continue on the overall call. So Jeff, why don't you and I take the discussion for soliciting outside of this group, and then we'll come back to this next time. So. Once again, thank you, everyone. I'm sorry for that we've kind of gone over time on this, but we look forward to seeing everyone at the next meeting. So I believe the next meeting is Thursday, the 20th, October 2016. So everyone have a good day, good evening, and a good night for wherever you are.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining.